Good morning. How you guys are doing today? Isn't it a great way to start praising God? He just sets the whole mood for the rest of the day. And let us go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come here as one body to receive the word you have prepared for us today. And we ask you to help us to listen to your word and help us to absorb your word. We ask you to bless this teaching and this time together as a body of Christ. We thank you for this time together. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, and we're going to be looking at chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And we're going to read that all out together. Give you a little time to find it in your Bibles. Or you can just follow the board behind you, in front of you. We, then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Chapter 15 of the book of Romans is a continuation of chapter 14. And to go back into context, the Apostle Paul was advising the Roman Christians not to judge one another based on different opinions about food and other non-essential matters of faith. Now, in chapter 15, the Apostle Paul shows the duty of the strong in faith Christian to consider and how we should patronize to the weakest. It is about our treatment towards the difference within the body of Christ and especially towards the weaker brothers and sisters in faith on how to bear with them, promoting unity, harmony, encouragement, and welcoming one another in the Christian community. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor JD touched about this subject of encouragement and fellowship with one another. And you will see that today's teaching will fit right into this. The title of today's message is parakaleo. Parakaleo. And that is the Greek word for comforter. And its definition is to exhort or to encourage. The Bible speaks about the ministry of exhortation in Romans chapter 12. It is a ministry of encouraging, inciting, or earnestly advising fellow believers to point them back to Jesus Christ. Not just showing the other believers what they must do, but also to help them to do it. And it's also important to know that as having this ministry of exhortation, that we must have the ability to listen to others' needs or shortcomings. We cannot exhort or encourage others if we do not know what they're struggling with. The way we live, by expressing our love to one another, it is the best testimony for others. And we all need to be ready, for we do not know when we will be required to do this ministry. Let us go back and read verse 1 again. We, then, who are strong, are to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Our church is not an organization or a members club. It is here where we see the necessities and weaknesses of each of our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can help them and support them when they need. It is also good to know that we all have areas of weakness and strengths. The weak, however, are more subject to them than others in terms of knowledge, or in grace. And we need to consider this and not trample upon them, but to encourage them and to bear with their infirmities. The third book of John, chapter 1, verse 5, teaches us the following. You can read it together. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Hospitality is a practical outworking of the essential command to love one another. It is love in action. Whatever God gives us to do, we should do it faithfully. Now let us look at a few points from verse 1. It reads, "We who are strong." And that is referring to all believers who confidently trust that they no longer have to adhere to the religious rules that they practiced before coming to Christ, because freedom in Christ clears their conscience. In Romans 14, verse 1 reads, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." We should not only receive the strong in faith, but the weak in faith also. If you consider yourself strong in faith in comparison to your brother or sister, then you need to use that strength to serve your brothers in Christ, to love them, demonstrating a selfless and compassionate attitude instead of judging them. The second point in verse 1, the word to bear. The Apostle Paul encourages more than just tolerance. He wants the strong to be sympathetic with them and be supportive towards the weak, and to minister strength to them, even willing to restrict our own freedom to prevent the weak from acting against our conscience. Sometimes we will need to sacrifice a little in order for others to grow spiritually. And this is an opportunity for the strong in faith to demonstrate the love of Christ and the unity of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul points the way to true happiness, and that is to take the eyes off yourself and start building up others. And the final point of verse 1 is the weak. Now, the Apostle Paul in this context is referring to those who are unconfident about what they can or cannot eat due to their convictions. So how do we who are strong in faith can encourage those who are weak in the faith? Number 1, by sharing how God helps. Number 2, by patient loving kindness. And number 3, by remaining firm to convictions. One thing to note, though, the weak can also encourage the strong in faith. And they can do so by willingness to learn and by response to God's word. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Instead of being willing to please yourself, we should live to please others. That is the first lesson we have to learn, to deny ourselves. We read that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24. Let us turn there. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If Christ denied himself, surely we should deny ourselves. We need to walk in love and not living to please ourselves. And that is the path to discipleship, the path of self-denial. Turn now to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Then you need to learn to be a servant. Instead of looking at our own needs, we need to look at the needs of others around us. We need to please them for their own good, to edify them. But why? It is because even Christ pleased not himself. The self-denial of our Lord Jesus Christ is the best argument against the selfishness of Christians. Jesus bore the infirmities of the weak. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now let us go back and look at a couple of points of verse 2. Number one, who is our neighbor? To answer that, let us go all the way back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now let us look at the second greatest commandment. Turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In this context that we just read, who is our neighbor? And that is us, Christians, but especially to those that are weak in the faith. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is telling us that we should put others first before ourselves. The second point in verse 2, edification. We need to build each other up spiritually and emotionally instead of tearing each other down. This shows a growth in faith and maturity in Christ. How can we edify others? I've listed 10 points, and if you like to write things down, this is a good time. Number one, encouragement. We need to let them know that we are there for them in their time, in their time of need. Second way, by prayer. We need to pray for one another's needs. And I would add, pray immediately. Don't wait till later. Number three, biblical teaching. We need to engage in discussions about Scripture to deepen each other's understanding of our faith. Number four, fellowship. We need to spend time together, whether here at church or any other social gathering. Number five, acts of service. We need to help those in time of need. And one thing I learned through the years is when someone is in need, we need to take care of it immediately if we have the means to do so. Not later. Sometimes we just tell them we'll take care of it, we forget. Not intentionally, it's just that we have a busy lifestyle and we forget. Number six, accountability. We need to hold each other accountable in living our Christian values and principles. Number seven, listening. We need to be active listeners and not just hear what they have to say. And I think I'm guilty of that one. Anyone else here? Sometimes we hear, but are we actually listening to what they're actually saying? Number eight, forgiveness. We need to forgive and reconcile when conflict arises with each other. And that's another one difficult. Are you first to forgive, or are you first wanting to be forgiven? Number nine, modeling Christ's love. We need to set an example for others to follow. This is the best way to share the gospel. You don't even have to say a single word, but people will actually notice your actions. And finally, number 10, a way to edify others, discipleship. We need to help our fellow Christians to grow in their faith and understanding of the gospel. Now let us read verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. The Apostle Paul is quoting Psalm 69:9. as an example of the attitude that the Roman believers should imitate. Jesus Christ came not to please himself. He did not seek his own glory, but willingly suffered for the sake of others. Christ was willing to endure shame and renounce his own satisfaction so that he could clearly represent his Father and his cause, and consequently, for those who would put their trust in him. Christ did not misuse his freedom to take advantage of people. Rather, he used it to serve others. Jesus Christ is our perfect role model for the strong in faith. And this serves as an encouragement for believers to follow Christ's example of sacrificial love and humility. We need to live to please God. If we start living to please ourselves, it can create an obstacle to them of the weaker faith. We should not use our freedom in such a way to cause others to stumble. Now, if you turn to Philippians chapter 2, I did not put it in the board. We're going to be reading verses 5 through 11. So I'll give you a little time to find it on your Bibles. Philippians 2, starting on verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what were the examples of Jesus? Number one, he did not live for himself. Number two, he took all the hatred of the world for God upon himself. And number three, he gave his life completely. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. In much the same way, a welcoming host makes sure that a visit strengthens the guest. For we do not know what their person is going through. Perhaps they're hurting, and they are not mature enough to understand God's purpose. Neglecting the convictions of other peoples to please oneself destroys the work of God. And on the contrary, living in a selfless way to help others strengthens the kingdom of God. Verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. As you probably already know, most of my teachings lately has been out of the Old Testament. You know, when I first started that, I thought it was boring. It's just a list of laws and people that have very difficult names. But what we fail to understand is that every page is really a picture of Jesus. Every story is really the story of God's plan to save a sinful person like me, like you. Jesus' self-denial and suffering was written for our learning and our instruction, and we need to apply this on a daily basis. It is of the utmost importance for the believer's spiritual life. It has permanent value, the wisdom and moral laws of God in relation with each aspect of our lives. The Apostle Paul goes on and gives us two things that instruction and encouragement of the Scripture gives us. What are they? Patience and hope. And it is the Lord that speaks to us through his word and gives us that comfort and hope. The Bible was given to us to reveal God for our learning about God, our understanding of God, so that we may have hope through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. There is no real hope apart from God, for he is our hope. So God has given us the Scriptures so that we can understand its nature, his character, his faithfulness, so that we in time of trouble will not despair and give up, but to continue in hope in that work of God's victory within our lives. All of God's word builds comfort and patience and is given for the purpose of building up hope. When we forget that God is on the throne and ruling over our own lives, we may get upset and discouraged over situations that could arise. We need to know that God is in control, and we need to bring that into our own lives. We should not get upset or discouraged, for the Lord reigns. Everything will pass if we just have the patience. But that's the problem, isn't it? We don't have any patience. But this is when faith comes, patiently waiting for the will of God to do His work. If not, we will mess things up because we want quick results. Therefore, we need patience, and it is through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. On the contrary, God is always patient. And that is because God is outside of our time dimension. God lives in the eternal. We live in the moment. Therefore, the question is, how can we apply patience and hope in our daily lives? Number one, by living a godly life in Christ Jesus. The Lord speaks to us through His word, and we attain this hope through patience and comfort of the Scriptures in our faith journey. Nothing is more destructive to hope than impatience. And number two, through the historical experiences, we learn about the nature of God and how we should respond. Let us take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This serves as a lesson on the importance of learning from the mistakes of the past and staying faithful to God to avoid spiritual pitfalls. We need to learn from our mistakes and move on from it. Now let us turn to Psalm chapter 119. Once again, this is not in the board, but I'll give you a little time to find it on your Bibles. And we're going to begin reading on verse 43. Psalm 119, verse 43. We're going to read through verse 50. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. In summary, this reflects our devotion to God's word, our willingness to endure hardships for the sake of righteousness, and our constant reliance on God's guidance and mercy. Verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. The fact that Apostle Paul puts these words in the form of a prayer demonstrates that he recognizes that this is a work that the Holy Spirit must do inside each of us. The Apostle Paul prays for unity to all believers, attributing to God the same virtues that he has just assigned of the Scriptures. So how are we to be? We are to be patient with one another, just as God is with us. We are often such in a hurry, aren't we? And sometimes God seems to work to slow us down, not to delay the purpose, but to fulfill our purpose, a plan that He has for each one of us. We are to be comforting to one another as God is with us. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31, it reads, And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. If we want to experience love and have people reach out to us, then we must also love and reach out to others. The Apostle Paul gives God a title, the God of patience and the God of consolation. For he is the author and foundation of all the patience and consolation of the saints. He is the God of consolation, for the comforts of the Holy Spirit help to support us as believers and to bear us up with courage and cheerfulness under all afflictions. We need to be like-mindedness according to Christ Jesus, according to the example of Jesus Christ. He is the center of our unity. Like-mindedness is a precious gift from God to us, for which we must earnestly seek unto him. God is also the God of hope and the God of peace. Let us turn to Romans, keep staying Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must not lose hope in God, for he is the God of all hope. And what is the result of hope? Joy and peace. And I believe everybody wants that. Now turn to Romans 15, verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Our God is the God of peace. He's the author and lover of peace. And if God is the God of peace, then we too should be men and women of peace. To review verse 5, what are the two qualities of our God? Patience and comfort giving. Verse 6. That you may be one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read here in verse 6 with one mouth, and that is referring to the unity among all believers. The unity of Christians glorifies God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is a kind of counterpart or representation of the oneness that is between the Father and the Son. So why must we receive one another? For as Christ also received us to the glory of God. If God is so kind to us, why should we be unkind to those that are his? How can we glorify God? Through a life of love, consolation, patience with one another, and to receive one another as Christ received us. We need to receive each other despite our differences. Christ received us not because we are perfect, but in a loving condescension covering our faults. He welcomes us to his heart also. In the same way and with the same purpose, we can receive one another. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Why did Jesus say that? So that the Father may be glorified. We too should have the glory of God in our eye in every single prayer. We need to praise God together. In verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. In the first verse, Romans chapter 15, Paul specifically asked the strong in faith to bear with the weak. Now, in verse 7, he's urging both groups to accept one another in the same way that Christ has welcomed us. He stresses the need for unity on accepting and embracing one another, regardless of our difference or backgrounds. If Christ received us and bears with all our weaknesses, then we too shall receive and be compassionate one with another. And by so doing, God will be glorified. The Apostle Paul suggests that reciprocity, and that is the practice of exchanging things with others for mutual benefit. Reciprocity and acceptance should be between believers in the faith as a reminder of the glory of God's grace and acceptance. In conclusion, we must always be on the lookout for the weak in faith, for the heavy laden, and for the downcast. How can we apply that in our own lives? Number one, by bearing the weaknesses of the weak. It is our duty as believers. Number two, we need to show Christ's example of selflessness and endurance. And number three, we need to encourage to please others and to build them up. I encourage you today to let us help the weak in faith with their burdens, their anxieties, their fears, and questioning, imparting to them something of our cheery hope, never pleasing ourselves, being merciful to others, though merciless in the standard and criticism we apply to our own conduct, comforting ourselves with the Word of God, that we may be able to impart these divine consolations to others. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching you gave us today, Lord. We ask you that you help to encourage, to help us to encourage others in their time of need. And at the same time, we ask you that let us receive encouragement from others, for we all need that encouragement. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day you gave us. And as we walk out today, we ask you that each of us share our encouragement as we walk out to anyone in need, so they would be built up. We thank you, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we leave today, I'm going to give you a final word of encouragement, final scripture. If we all turn, James chapter 5, verse 13. And this is what James tells us to do during times of difficulties. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So instead of complaining when we're going through difficult times, what are we supposed to do? We should pray. And if we're happy, we should sing songs. And let us apply this during difficult times. But remember, what's the key ingredient that we must have? Patience. May the Lord bless you the week. May you receive this word and you be a light to those who are still in darkness. May you encourage others. And just remember that God loves you and He's the God of patience. And let us too be patient. God bless you and thank you.